Hi everyone. Yeah, those of you who are joining online, hi, and those of you who are visiting us maybe for the first time. I always say that it's a privilege to get to share God's words with us, and love it to share right here in our community, in our family. And today, as Rich said, we are finishing our short series called The Gift, and today we are looking at the gift of interrupted life. The gift of interrupted life. So today's message, we are going to explore 3 points about interactions, and then in the second part, we are going to look at 3 lessons that we are going to be learning together. And if the gift of interruption is your friend, please come and share your secret with me right at the end. I don't think this is one of the gifts that one would like. By the way, I learned when I came to Cape Town, I learned that before visiting even your siblings, you have to make an appointment. You don't have to interrupt. You have to call them. You have to let them know that you are coming. But the gift we are looking at today, it's not like that. It doesn't actually set up appointment. It doesn't notify you that I'm going to come. You just knock at your door, like where I come from. Culturally, it's, I just get to your door and knock and I'm outside. Open for me. No appointments. Didn't call. And when I come, obviously, I'm going to interrupt a lot of stuff. Your setup, your meals, and all that you have planned, I'm going to interrupt that. This is the journey we have been on in 2020. This is the journey we have been on this year. A lot of things. And I just want to put a few things. I want to take us back to 2019. 2019 December. There you go. I was just trying to get your attention. Now, let's go back and look at the list that you had and the list that I had. I'm going to ask that they put it on the screen. You know, some of the stuff that you are looking forward to when you are thinking 2020, you know, exercise more, save money, eat more healthy, lose weight, reduce stress, get more sleep, stick to budget, focus on my spiritual growth, travel more, learn a new skill. You know, think about these things. These were like in December 2019, you had a list and you're looking forward to 2020 and you wanted to do some of those things. But the question is, did you actually stick to that list? I would say a lot of the things on that list, maybe that's just a few of them. Maybe you had some of us went to 20 or 25 things, but based on what has happened this year, if there is something I can point out of that, maybe, you know, I can point about, focus on spiritual growth and learn new skills. And you are going to see some photos that will follow. And one of it, actually, I'm referring to my wife. You'll see her that instead of sitting on an airplane, she's actually in front of the washing machine. Look at that. You know, this is what happened. Put another one. You know, the expectation. You see that one? Expectation versus reality. Instead of sitting and, you know, and everyone loves the window side when you are traveling. Can I sit on the window side? And you are looking. Now you have to sit on the window side of the washing machine just to check how long the clothes are going to take. So anyway, this is how this year has been. You know, this year has been very difficult. When the Zoom meeting started, we were all excited. Then later on, we start to get frustrated. Because there were just a lot of them. They were just taking a lot of time. And we were all looking forward to say, when is this going to finish? Like Rich said, when we are looking into 2021, we have to be careful that we are not thinking by changing the zero with one, everything is going to change. This doesn't mean that we shouldn't we shouldn't plan, we shouldn't. No, we have to do that, but we have to make provision for the gift of interrupted life. We have to make provision for that. So the passage today we are going to look at is Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38, and also Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. The reason why we are looking at these two passages of Scripture, before we get to them, before we read that, I just want to mention a few things. Luke is looking into the life of Mary and Joseph, but is writing based on Mary's point of view. And Matthew is writing based on Joseph's point of view. And these are the only two gospels out of the four that show interest to the birth of Jesus. But when you want to, you know, to talk about someone's life, the best thing to do is to research about their childhood, about their birth. But interesting enough, when we look at the four gospels, it is only Luke and Matthew who shows interest in the birth of Jesus. In fact, less is said about Jesus' childhood. And we are going to discover the reason why these two, they show interest. And the interest in the conception of Jesus and his birth, when it comes to Matthew and Luke, lies because they want to show us that Jesus was the Son of God who became man by means of the Virgin Mary. That's what we are going to read from Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to ask Minka, she's reading for us from verse 26 to 38.
Good morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are holy, are favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Thank you very much. It's God's word. Dear Lord, we thank you. We give you the glory for the privilege and opportunity we have to sit under your word. Father Lord, I pray that you speak to us. Dear Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, that we are not going to leave just the way we came. God, I pray that you'd encourage us, you'd challenge us, you'd open our eyes to the truth of your word. God, I pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Here's a very interesting interruption. Mary lived in Nazareth, a fairly small and hidden town in Galilee. She was engaged to a guy called Joseph. And we are told that 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary to inform her that she would bear the Messiah, Mary was a virgin, engaged to Joseph. Now, this is not, you know, this is not what Mary had in mind. Mary and Joseph had their own plans. It would have actually been easy if it was Joseph to be the first one to get this news. To make matters worse, it's Mary who is a female. Now I want you to think about this. You know, if you are in Mary's situation, Mary has to deal with all the things going into her mind. How am I going to tell Joseph? Is he actually going to believe me? Now, we have to understand when interruptions come into our lives, they don't leave us the way they found us. They cause a lot of frustrations. They raise us a lot of questions. And this is what was happening with Mary. It sounds exciting, but is it really exciting? Is it going to be exciting to Joseph? Is it going to be exciting for the villagers, the place where she lived? Is it going to be exciting for both families? Are they going actually to believe her? Now, just to note something is that because Jesus' conception was the result of the miracle-working power of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary, the child would be called the Son of God, not the Son of David. That's what we see in verse 35. Now, this is very important, and also that's where the problem is. Because how is Mary going to convince people that this is not Joseph's son? So my first point is, interactions happen. Interactions happen. Interactions are a natural part of life. They happen. Even if we plan our life in a way that we want it to go straight, like we see and we are going to discover with Mary and Joseph, we have to know that interruptions happen. And we've seen it this year. The word interrupt means to come between, to break. It's the one thing we can count on. But I know when we are planning, even now as we are looking into 2021, none of us, I don't think any one of us is busy making provision for interruptions. But I want to encourage us. I want to say that we have to expect the unexpected. We have to make provision for that. We have to expect the unexpected. And this is important because we can learn from this year. Even people who have journeyed, who have been interrupted in life in many different ways, when other new interruptions kicks into your life, the way you respond is in a way that does not show as if you were prepared for what had happened. No one can stand and say, you know what? I am so much used to interruptions. I know how I can handle them. That's why it's very important for us to look into the story of Mary and Joseph, just to look, because this was the most difficult interruption. They lived in a culture where, you know, things like this, it was going to cause Mary a life. It is death that we are looking at here. Death sentence. Mary was looking forward to a great future with this man, coming from the descendant of David, King David. The guy who is well established, well respected, both of them known in the villages, in their village. They were known to be, you know, looking forward to a great future together, to having children, maybe planning to have their first home and all these things. This is what they were looking forward to. But the interruption just comes in and breaks that. How would she, Mary, explain her pregnancy to Joseph? Would he believe her? Would he be willing to take on that responsibility of a pregnancy that is not his? This was not in their plans. And yet, as we see, she accepted. Mary accepted. She accepted without having to share even with Joseph. And as we are going to see the lessons as we go on, this is very important for us to take note of. Mary accepted in the moment in front of the angel. When it comes to Joseph, his plans for a happy home with a woman he wanted to love, provide for, and have their children together were ruined before his eyes. His life as well as ours had been powerfully interrupted. Just like that. So when we think about the Christian life, it's like this. We are ordinary people in many ways. We have plans and desires that we write down and we are looking forward. Maybe you are, it's career, maybe it's relationship, maybe it's business. We plan all these things, yet alongside this, there are God's plans and God's will. And we don't plan for that. It is God. It is in His hands. God is at work. And at any moment, he might do something special. And at any moment, he might break in. So at any moment, on one end, God can do something special. But when you feel like things are going your way, then God might break in again just to make sure that he's taking you according to his plan and according to his will. I believe that all of us, we've experienced that this year. We might have experienced it differently, but I think we have. I believe that we've all experienced that as a result of COVID-19. Whether it's at a family level, whether it's work, and, whether it is in terms of family and business trips that has been canceled, there's so many things that we've all experienced this year. Interruptions happen, not according to our plans and our desires, but according to God's plan and His will. This brings me to my second point. Interruptions happen, but it is how we respond to them that is key. It is how we respond to them that is key. Let's look at how both Mary and Joseph respond to this unbelievable news. Let's look at how they responded. So we go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And verse 34. How will this be, Mary said, asked the angel, since I am a virgin. And verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Here we see that Mary took her fears and processed them through questioning and then accepted what she felt God's will was for her life. That's what Mary did. She took her fears by asking questions. She asked the angel of God the questions, and at the end, after that conversation, she accepted. She said, if this is your will, she accepted. She said, I'm saying yes to this. Now, when we look at Matthew's account, if we turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25, to see Joseph's response, as I said, Matthew wrote his account of the story looking at Joseph, but Luke wrote it looking at Mary. In fact, other commentators, they said Luke might have actually collected a lot of his information. Maybe one-on-one with Mary or some close people to Mary, because the details that Luke provides, if you read from chapter 1 from verse 1 to 4, he said, I researched. He did a lot of research. The amount of details he provided in this story, it just shows like if he never got it from Mary herself, maybe people were around or some written records that provided him with all these information. So this is what Luke has to say. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quickly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The one thing we have to understand here, first of all, we have to commend Joseph for his response, how he responded. But you can see that Joseph, first place, he had his own plans. This is the reaction to many of us. When we are interrupted, we've got our own individual plans. We've got our own personal plans. We are thinking already on how we are going to respond to this. If God never rescued Joseph, Joseph would have responded according to his own plans. We make decisions that, you know, if we were better informed, would not make. So here what we can learn is that we have to be very careful that when we face an interruption, we don't just react according to the fears and the feelings or the emotion or frustration. We have to make sure that we understand the situation correctly, and we have to hear God in that situation. When Joseph heard this, the Lord intervened. He shows himself to be a man of faith and strength. His willingness to obey God demonstrates that he, like Mary, has a servant's heart toward God and is fully obedient to the call of God on his life. This is not something easy. I think when we read this, you may think like, you know, when Joseph heard about it, because first of all, we have to understand in that culture, there were some myths that the gods would, you know, have sexual relationships with some women. They would conceive, then they would have. So Joseph had all reason to doubt Mary. He had all reason to actually reject what Mary had told him. He had all reason to take Mary publicly and said, you know what, you have done something that is not acceptable according to the law. Because even if it was a pledge, but according to the law, then it was more or less like you are engaged. In order for you are already living as married people, even if the wedding hasn't happened. So if you are to separate, you are supposed to go through a normal process of divorcing, etc. Therefore, people were going to know. And Joseph wanted to do this secretly. He didn't want to bring Mary on the public platform, and Mary would have actually suffered the consequences of that. But Joseph survived because he obeyed God. You know, he had all the right to refuse even what he saw in the dream. He had all right to disobey God, but he chose not to disobey God. He chose to follow God's way. So far, we've looked at interruptions happen. And the second point is, it is how we respond to them that is key. And my third point is that interruptions are not detours or distractions from the journey. They are the journey itself. They are the journey itself. And I'm going to spend quite a lot of time here before we get to the three lessons. We have to understand that interruptions, they are a chance to see God's sovereign plan at work. They are a chance to experience the presence of God as you journey. And they are a chance for God to do a deep work in your life. There are a chance for God to do a deep work in my life. And if we choose to avoid them, or if we choose not to hear God when we are interrupted, we might take a wrong turn. Interruptions are often the way God gets our attention. Does it mean that Mary and Joseph were losing God's attention? They were going off the... No, it is not. For me, when I read a story like this, I see a promise attached to their lives. Therefore, any interaction that you may face, maybe at a personal level, you have to also seek to understand what is a promise that is attached to what I'm going through. Often these interruptions remind us that there is a God and that he has a plan. That's why they remind us. Often we get perspectives about what really matters. We get distracted by life, but when there is an interruption, we are reminded that there is a plan at work that is bigger than ours. There is a plan that is bigger than ours, and that is God's plan, and that is not our plan. And we are not to be distracted, and we are not to think as though we are going backward. We have to seek God's will and to try to understand and say, God, where are you taking me? Some have allowed the interruptions of COVID-19 to affect their spiritual walk with God. Is that right? I don't think so. When I talk about spiritual walk with God, I'm not referring to coming to this building, or I'm not referring to attend church online. I'm just referring to your spiritual disciplines. I'm referring to your time with God. I'm referring to your pursuit of intimacy with God, intimacy with community, intimacy and influence with outsiders. You have ceased to live as a mission or Christ follower, someone who is on mission, someone who is carrying the gospel, because you have been interrupted by COVID-19. Now the question you have to ask is, God, you know, where is my place in this? Where is my place in this? What do you want me to do in this situation? Someone listening to me right now, maybe God has interrupted your life the way it is now because he wants to get your attention. Because he wants to get your attention. Because God has things to say to you. Because God has things to do with you. That's the reason why he has allowed those things to happen. That's the reason why he has allowed what you are going through. Because he's got things to say to you, and he's got work to do with you and in and through you. And some of you, maybe you are listening to me, you are not a Christ follower. But you just happen maybe you just coming in here this morning and you are thinking maybe it just happened by accident, I want you to know God has a plan for your life, because he's the one who makes a way for us. And that the reason that he wants you to hear this, maybe God is wanting to get your attention. Maybe God has got a plan for your life. He wants you to understand the plan. That's the reason why I want you to hear this message today. And the word sovereign means supreme or ultimate power. So when we talk about the sovereign plan, it is the plan that is above all other plans. It is the plan that is above all other plan, or, you know, above all other circumstances. That is the supreme plan of God. It is above all. It is above your situation. It is above your plan. It is above the situation that the world is going through now. God's supreme plan or sovereignty is above all these things. He knows the details of the situation that the world finds itself in. He knows the details of your situation. And this plan is a better plan. It's not similar to your plan. It's not like your plan. It's not like my plan. His plans, God's plans are the best. Now, when we look carefully in the story of Mary and Joseph, that interruption of a pregnancy was not the only obstacle into their relationship. They were faced with another and another obstacles again. So Joseph accepted to say, I'm going to take you the way you are, because the Lord has spoken. But when we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 6, we discover that there is more obstacles to come. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee up to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Now, you have to understand, at this point, Mary, she is in a third trimester. I think that's how I'd call it, third trimester of her pregnancy. And I know when Sabrina was in that stage, we were traveling to Zambia with her, you know, she was in that stage with our third child. It was difficult for us to travel, because they were really, really giving us a lot of issues that it is a risk for you to travel like that. But here we just read, we are going to discover that Joseph and Mary, they have to pack, because they have to walk a long distance. James Strange, a New Testament and biblical archaeology professor, describes how the trip would have been about 145 kilometers of traveling. They were traveling on foot. It's not like the way we are today. There is a straight road, but there were a lot of uphill and downhills that they were supposed to go through. As I put it on the map, they were supposed to go through a lot of things, and the weather, according to many commentators, they say that the weather was not good. It was rainy. It was very cold, and they had to pack their stuff and put it on a donkey so that they can get to where they were going, to Bethlehem. Now, if it is in our time, especially in my culture, they will look, there is a word that they said, this should be definitely Chibau. Now, I'll tell you what that means. I think they know what I said. They're laughing. So, why am I saying this? Because they will look at it, they said, by the way, Andre, you are so stupid. How would you accept to take Sabrina with a pregnancy that doesn't belong to you? Oh, okay, but anyway, we understand. You said God spoke to you. But do you know what is coming up now? Do you know what is, you see now what is happening to you? Now you have to walk with her all the distance. You have to take all the obstacles. You have to go with the rain. You have to go back to Bethlehem so that you can register yourself there. a number of obstacles, and some commentaries reckons that them passing into the Judean forest or close to that river, it was so dangerous that even lions, dangerous animals, could have attacked them as they were traveling. It was dangerous for them. This was not an easy journey. And as we know, the hardship did not end when Joseph and Mary arrived in Bethlehem. Under normal circumstances, the couple would have expected to stay in the spare bedroom of a relative or another Jewish family. But that's not the case. Bethlehem is overcrowded, and so Joseph and Mary are forced to seek lodging at another place. Just any basic place where they could find a place for them to sleep. With all these challenges and all these things that are happening to them, one could look at that and judge straight away and said, why did you accept to take Mary with the pregnancy? That's the reason why all these things are happening to you. We are so quick to judge. We are so quick to look into a situation and try to conclude, especially if we haven't heard God. Especially if we don't understand whether is this God's plan, is this God's will. We can quick judge people. Not every suffering is as a result of sin. We should not, because sometimes that's what we think. Not every suffering is as a result of sin. Not every obstacle in life is because you've done something wrong. No, it may be that God wants you to pass that road because he's got a plan he wants to accomplish with you, and he's got a people he wants to bless in and through you. But you will have to go through that, so that others can benefit. So we read Luke chapter 2 verse 6. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Again, you can see Luke is only focusing on Mary. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. No guest room available for them. Joseph is looking at Mary and said, Mary, can you see? Are you seeing what we are going through? I'm just saying, maybe this is the conversation going between the two of them. Is this right? We don't have pampers. We don't have anything. We don't have powder. We don't have the correct stuff that are needed. How much we complain about when we are interrupted. But when you look into this situation, we are talking about the birth of a King of Kings. We are talking about the birth of a Savior. Joseph is holding the baby, excited, but at the same time with a lot of challenges. And Mary, the emotional and psychological state of the two young people, by the way, Mary should have been between 14 and 15 years, because the Jewish then, they would marry their kids at 15 years old. Now, the one truth is this. For Mary and Joseph, all these things were actually in line with ancient prophecies. Looking back, we are able to see how these seemingly uncontrollable and inconvenient circumstances were actually God's perfect plan. God's sovereign plan in action. Isaiah 7, it is prophesied, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Beyond, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So this was all in line. God is taking this young couple to the direction, to the fulfillment of what was said already. God is getting them, allowing them to walk his journey, to walk his walk, not their walk. They are passing in God's path. They are not passing into their own path. I want us to learn something here. When things happen to us, the question is, God, am I walking in your path? Help me to remain in this way. If it is your will, do not allow me to go out. We are too quick in wanting to make sure that we don't go through suffering or pain. We want to change strategy. We want to do this. We want to do without asking God whether it's the right thing to do. And we don't want to miss the opportunity if God is wanting to do the work in and through us. Maybe it's a character issue that God is wanting to shape in that time. We have to allow it. Let God do his work in our lives. Maybe in your marriage, God is wanting to do something between the two of you. We have to allow it. Maybe it is in your singleness. Sometimes I've been approached to say, when you give an example of marriage, you don't mention about singles. So now I'm talking about even singles. God may allow you to go through a path that it is for your good. But it's not going to be easy. Isaiah 9, we read, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This was talking about Jesus. And Micah 5, verse 2. Micah prophesies that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from the hold, from ancient times." There was a promise in the Old Testament that although the kings in the line of David had ceased to function, yet God was still watching over the royal line. God was looking. God was looking. He was just waiting for the right time. It was promised that one day God, royal savior, would come out of the line of David. And this is what we are witnessing here. At the time of our story, the line of David was humiliated and despised. It didn't seem very likely that any kings would be coming from this line anytime soon, but God, because he's a faithful God, it is happening. In any case, the kind of son of David that people were hoping for was a soldier, politician, someone who was going to rescue them, take them out of the occupation from the Romans Empire and try to defeat all the people. But this is not what we are seeing here. God's sovereign plan is not what we would expect. It is surprising. God is about to send his son. He chooses a despised country, Israel. He chooses a despised area of that country, Galilee. He chooses an important village within the area, Nazareth. He chooses not a famous rich man or a mighty politician, but an obscure teenage girl, a girl. He said, "You are the one." But this teenage girl is engaged to someone in the house of David whose ancestors were kings of Israel. This is how God works. But you think about it, even when we are planning, looking forward to the year ahead, when we take a paper and a pen, we start to think about our personal plans. You cannot choose a village like that. We don't choose a village. We are choosing shining cities. We want to go to places where there's nothing wrong with that. But when we do that, I want to say to us, we have to leave room for God's interruption. Our expectations may not end up to be the reality. And that was the case with Mary and Joseph. Are we still there? God used a surprising country, a surprising area, a surprising town, a surprising girl, and he used a surprising method, a miraculous birth. There is a sovereign plan at work here. That's what we can say. There is a plan at God, a sovereign plan of God at work. And the surprising continue as the plan unfolds. It is again not what Mary and Joseph would have planned or expected. When we read now Matthew, who is looking into the story according to Joseph, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to 15, when the Magi had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Now, this is interesting. The journey doesn't just end when the baby is born. Joseph, baby Jesus, and Mary, they are to seek asylum in Egypt. They're refugees. They're refugees in Egypt. That's another issue. On top of not just walking the long journey, not just accepting that, yes, we admit the pregnancy. Now, Joseph will have again to hear God saying, "Right now, I want you now to relocate." Wow. I want you to relocate. You've just relocated to Cape Town. You've just set up your home. You've invested a lot of money. But then God comes to you at night in a dream and said, "I want you to leave this house. I want you to go to another small place, to another small town, where you don't know people, where you don't have relationships, you don't have siblings." What kind of a mother would love to raise their kids or a child in a place where the parents are not there, the siblings are not there, people are going to play? In a new place, this is what God is saying to Joseph. You have to take your wife and you have to take the baby to a place, to a new place. Sometimes we are called to uproot our comfort and family and relocate for reasons behind our control. Sometimes we are to do that. It could be that we are called missionally by God. When I think of people in this community, in this congregation, think even of Alex and Melissa. They might have relocated. I think it would have been much better if they had to think about their life, maybe remain in the States, be their parents and kids, and they would play around the grandparents and the siblings, but they choose to relocate, come to South Africa. When I look at my own story, when I look at the journey, when I look at the story of many other people in this room, even the guys who are in front here, when I look at each one of them, the stories, the journeys that are, and many of you, maybe you are in Johannesburg, Pretoria, etc. You landed in this community, you landed in this city, all in God's plan. It is not your work. When you look back, when you reflect, it's not your work. Some of you are considering maybe relocating. And I want to say to you, do not just take that decision. Think about it. Consider. Look. Search God. Ask God. If that's the way, then do it. Maybe you are like Mary and Joseph, had to escape in fear for your life and start over again in a place where you are unknown and unconnected. Hi, Pamzi. You think about it. Leaving Malawi, leaving everything behind, and you are going to a place where no relationships. This is what we see with Joseph and Mary. But as we are reminded, with Mary and Joseph, our hardship could be God's plan A. Our hardship could be God's plan A when seen through God's perspective. These things are not distractions or detour on the journey. They are the journey itself. They are the journey itself. Mary and Joseph went through all this so that we could have the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, quick, I'm going to be landing, but I just want to give us three lessons, especially from Mary's response. The first lesson that we see in Mary: when you are faced with any interruptions, pray and pursue God's presence. Pray and pursue God's presence. The first thing to do when your life is interrupted is stop and pray. Stop and pray. Pray for guidance. Pray for wisdom and discernment. Pray for courage. Pray for help. Invite God in the situation. It is not going to be easy for you to do it on your own. It's not going to be easy for me to do it on my own. You have to pause. You have to stop and invite God and ask God, help me to understand this. Give me courage to say yes and no, if it is from you or if it's not from you. The second lesson, praise and gratitude. In Luke chapter 1, we read Mary's song. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has done mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generation will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. What a beautiful song. Mary worships God because of who he is in the situation. Because of what he has seen, God has done, his character, his faithfulness, in his mercy, as well as because of what he has done, she is calling those things to mind. I am not saying these things because I am like Mary. No, I am not. I wish time and time again I can respond the way Mary responded. I wish in every situation I can be bold and courageous enough to say, yes, God, I'll do this. Just as Mary did. But I'm not. I have to lean into God. I have to ask for God's strength all the time and say, God, please help me in this situation. I cannot do it without you. Here we see that Mary is aware of God's provision. God is in control. She has come to a place where she is able to sing this beautiful song despite her less than ideal circumstances. And I think this is the one that has been especially hard for us all this year. It has been very hard to sing praise and gratitude to God because of all that has happened this year. Many have lost employment. Men have lost their loved ones. Many companies have closed down. The businesses have been affected. A lot of things have gone wrong this year. It is not just easy for one to start to sing, to praise, and to have this gratitude. But we can learn from Mary's situation that it is possible to do that. It is possible to trust God. It is possible to say, God, you are in control. I am not going to give up. I'll praise you. And I'll sing a new song because I know that you are the one who is holding all things together. It is a powerful reminder for us to be people who see and notice and celebrate and appreciate God's presence and provision. That no matter what is happening, we keep our gratitude levels strong before the King of Kings. And finally, the third and the final lesson from Mary is obedience and surrender. Luke chapter 1 verse 38, Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to your will. I was expecting a big amen from the woman especially. We are all learning from a young girl here. We are all learning from someone who other commentaries, when they compare him with the priest, the father to John the Baptist, how he responded, because we don't have time to go there. When they compare Mary's response to Zechariah, they find out that, you know, he was very doubtful. to God's words, to the message, to the prophetic message, compared to Mary? If you say so, Lord, I will, even if it interrupts my plans. That's what Mary actually meant. She doesn't know yet the places her life is going to end up, but she's trusting that God has got it all together. She's open to that invitation to cooperate with God and what He wants to do in and through her. She is open to all that. And she's saying, yes, I'm here. Can I ask the band to please come up as we close our time together now? I'd like to encourage us to stand up. And I want to ask you this question. Could God be calling us to respond with that same prayer? If you say so, Lord, I will, even if it interrupts my plan, even if I've lost my business, even if we've had a lot of stuff that has happened this year in our family, God, I will, I will, I will, God. I am going to take what you said, and I am going to walk according to the way you want me to walk. I am going to walk in your path, Lord. Interactions can redirect our lives. This was true of Joseph and Mary. Their plans were interrupted, but oh, what an interruption. This was so amazing that their lives were no longer the same. But what a blessing that if we had time to go into the history, when Jesus started his public ministry, Joseph was gone already, he was dead, but Mary stayed on the side of Jesus even when all the disciples had left him. But she was right there because she saw what the Lord has done. She was looking at the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And that's the God who is inviting you today. He's inviting you to say, are you willing to take my path? Are you willing to be part of my plan? Are you willing to be interrupted? Are you willing, if I can step in your life and say, come on, I want to walk this road with you. I want to show you the best plans, the better ones that I have for you. Are you that person that the Lord is calling this morning? When I think about Mary and Joseph, the direction the future took was not what they had planned, but it was so much better than their own plans. If you feel comfortable, can I invite us to close our eyes? I want just to create this time to just to take a moment to reflect on what maybe God has been saying to you as you are listening to the You've listened to this message. Do you think you can respond as Mary did? Yes, I will, Lord. Maybe he's responding to the invitation of obedience and surrender to God and to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, I'd like to lead you in a time of prayer. I want to pray with you. You don't have maybe to pray loudly, but you can just pray from your heart. Say, dear Lord, here I am. I want to respond to you, Jesus, the King of Kings. Help me, Lord. I am ready to say, yes, I will. I'm ready to surrender my life to you. For you know the future. Please come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. Yes, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. To the rest of us, to Christ followers, what a great reminder to us. Interruptions happen, Interruptions happen, but it is how we respond to them that is key. Interruptions are not detours or distractions from the journey. They are the journey itself. Can we pray a prayer of surrender to God and say, God, as we look forward to 2021, we want to plan, but we are inviting you. We are going to surrender all to you. Let's do that together. Let's pray where you are. Say, Lord, I surrender all to you. Lord Jesus, I'm saying yes to your interruptions. I'm saying yes to your guiding, your guidance. I'm saying yes, oh Lord Jesus, to walk the path that you want me to walk. I'm saying yes, oh Lord Jesus, to obey you, to follow you, to submit to you. I'm saying yes, oh Lord Jesus, to go where you want me to go. I'm saying yes, to start what you want me to start. I'm saying yes, oh Lord Jesus, to let go of what you want me to let go. I'm saying yes, oh Jesus, to what is not of you in my life, God, to give up on it. I'm saying yes, oh Lord Jesus, to all that you are wanting me to let go.